Is this Mike from around the world?
Yes, it is, Pastor Paul.
All right, Mike, tell us exactly what is up with CERN. We got a lot of people here, probably have new people here even, because I did a YouTube video announcing that this broadcast, a special broadcast on CERN, and I can see there are people still piling in right now. So help us understand, what is CERN?
Okay, yeah, I'm going to do that, Pastor, today, and it's you know what, in my spirit, I really have to get this out so that people, so that they understand. But first, I want to tell people that anytime any truth is presented, normally truth is not, it's not taken as truth right away, but it becomes clear later on. And the enemy, I can almost guarantee the enemy is going to come in and attempt to distract. Certainly when I hit certain topics, the enemy will come in and try to distract. So if people want to understand what CERN is, if they would just indulge me for a little bit, they'll have a clear understanding of why they're doing it, what they're looking for, and what is the potential and the facts that will come out of these experiments, if they would just indulge me. But the enemy is not going to be happy with it. I can tell you that right now. So, CERN itself.
Well, what you're doing is you're giving everybody a heads up that there will be skeptics, there will be people who will challenge it, there are people who won't even wait to see what it means, or give it, let it be developed, or let whatever's going to happen happen. They will just go after the credibility of it. And so you're preparing all of us to expect that kind of fallout and to just brush it off and take this information. And with that, Mike, go right ahead.
Okay. And amazingly, it won't come from the scientific community or anybody who has knowledge of physics. They will not tear it apart because they understand what I'm saying. So I'm gonna make this as basic as possible. I want you all to imagine, if you want to know what CERN is doing, I want you to imagine you come into a world and you find architecture all over the place, buildings and homes and houses, and you think they're beautiful and it's really a big discovery. You find out with the houses, you can house people. You can do many things with a house, with a structure. All of a sudden, after many years, you become curious and you say, what's holding all this together? And you begin to find, not nails that you can take out, but glue that has bonded itself to the materials. And you become interested in that glue that's holding the structure together. And so you're fascinated by this glue and you've tried everything to replicate it. You can't because it's hardened. Glue is hardened. You come to the realization the only way to find out how this glue is working is to break it down to its basic particles. And you have to have that glue in its former state, not the state after it's already hardened. Right? So you don't want it in the cured state, the state that you can see. You want it in its initial state, which is a liquid state, before it hardens. And so CERN, basically, is a device that will allow them to examine particles in their initial state, not after everything is bonded together. That's a very simple, simple way to look at what CERN is doing. They're trying to find the glue that holds everything together, is what they're doing. And when they found this, go ahead, yeah. Pastor.
They're trying to create the same glue that holds the whole universe together, but they want to find this glue not in its current state, but in its original state, in its God particle state. They want to find it before it became the glue. They want to find it in that state, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's the purpose of CERN. As of now, what has come out of CERN is called antimatter, which was first actually produced. It was first produced in 1955. And CERN is a very old organization. but it was produced in 1955, and they found positrons, which are anti-electrons. To understand what antimatter is, I'm going to have to explain the very bare basics of what matter is. And believe me, it's going to get very weird here shortly, because you're going to begin to see exactly what they're doing. But you have to understand what you're looking at now. The matter and antimatter are in fact opposites. Now, the matter that we have in front of us, if you take a piece of wood, nothing happens. It's just a piece of wood. But if you set that wood on fire, you have caused a reaction, correct? And then it's in a dangerous potential state. It's active. If you have a battery outside of your cell phone, it does nothing. You put the battery inside the cell phone, the electrons begin to flow, right? The electrons will flow from one place to another. Essentially, that's what electronics are, the control of electrons. They control the direction, the speed of electrons, which create tiny pulses. They flow or don't flow, flow or don't flow. Those are called gates. Those gates form computers. And with a computer, we can do fascinating things. This is why they did, in fact, take Nikola Tesla's findings, because he discovered some things with electrons and protons that were very fascinating. Electricity within itself is a visual observation of electrons and protons in their active state, non-controlled state. Antimatter is the opposite of the matter that we can control. Antimatter cannot be controlled. In fact, when they first produced antimatter, they had to have a facility to contain it, because unlike the wood, where you have to have a reaction to cause it to burn, antimatter, you have to have a containment to cause it not to burn. Does that make sense to everybody?
In other words, antimatter is already flowing, wild, without restraint. It's just, it's energy in a massive release. And to make it matter would be to bring it in a controlled environment or a controlled mechanism or a controlled state, as you would say.
That's the only way they can store it, with massive facilities to store. Let me give you an example. In a nuclear bomb, it takes timing, which takes electronics, and the explosions have to be just right to cause a reaction. That's a nuclear bomb, like the Hiroshima bomb, okay, which takes pounds of nuclear material to cause it to react, and it has to be very precise. Well, let's go the opposite. Let's say we had antimatter, correct? If we had 1 gram of antimatter, that would equal about 45 kilotons of TNT, which is about 4 Hiroshima bombs. 1 gram of antimatter is the equivalent of 4 Hiroshima bombs.
So antimatter is dark matter. It's what we can't see, but it is there. And the dark matter is way more powerful than the matter that we can see and control. It's way more powerful, what you're saying.
That's correct. And it's already inherently unstable. It's unstable. The only way to harness antimatter is to contain it. And it takes very large and expensive facilities to contain just 1 gram of antimatter.
Now, what you just said, though, Mike, is if a person could harness the dark matter, even 1 gram of it, if they could contain it, if they could get it sealed into some type of container and then release it, it would be the most powerful weapon in the world, if that is possible.
It would be a little more than a weapon, and I'll explain to you why. Unlike matter, which we can measure, and we can actually have a fail-safe with any explosion, because with TNT, so many grams of the components that go into TNT causes a yield or a force of an explosion. You can have small explosions like a firecracker to big explosions like C4, but you can contain that explosion, which would be called a fail-safe, right? So explosions are fail-safe. Antimatter is not. You can have 1 gram of antimatter. It can begin to react in ways that are unfathomable by the human mind. Physicists know this. 1 gram of antimatter can cause a reaction with other matter in other antimatter components that are out there, causing a chain reaction that could, in fact, 1 gram of antimatter, it is said, has the potential as the sun if it begins to react with other components of antimatter. So it's very unstable and dangerous. It's very unstable and dangerous. What they've been trying to do since 55 is control it. They've been trying to control it. They have made containment devices deep into the earth. Some have failed, some have not. If those containment devices fail, they cause megaquakes. That's what happens when they fail. Now, we're talking small, tiny drops of antimatter. I mean, just drops of raw antimatter. It's highly unstable. It has to be isolated from the rest of reality when it's contained in a literal sense.
Nitroglycerin is something I can comprehend, in which is not antimatter, not dark matter, but it's an actual chemical that's in a liquid form, but it's highly volatile. It can be contained, but it's highly volatile, right?
Right.
But you're talking about that's way, way more volatile, way more explosive, way more dangerous potentially to the human race or even to the universe itself. But, and we're trying to figure out how to contain that.
Yes. Now, given that this can be weaponized, which is true, well, there are other implications that the average person has not thought about. Our body is held together by that glue that they're searching for, that bonds matter together. Those who understand what's called the standard model, they have a pretty good idea of what would happen if the force table in the the standard model is just an explanation of how all things work. You're dealing with matter and force, and they have categorized the elements of matter, everything we can touch and feel and observe, in what's called quarks, the building blocks, of protons and nuclei, and leptons, which are essentially, well, that would be like an electron. And then we have force. A force are lumps of energy that transmit the forces that bring matter to life. Like a photon, it carries the electromagnetic force. Without a photon, we couldn't produce motors or anything else. Without gluons, which carry a strong force, neutrons and protons would not be held together. In other words, the universe would not exist. And of course, you have UW and Z particles, which are for weak forces that govern radioactivity. So you have this standard model, and they have broken this down. But what they're looking for is a higher explanation of how everything works. This is the particle they're searching for. Now, they found half of it. They already found a component of it.
What is that component? Is that the proton itself?
That was the Higgs field. Now, the Higgs field is an explanation they found the traces of the Higgs field. They can now observe the Higgs field. The Higgs field is what is found wherever matter is not. In your room, the Higgs field is in operation. Listen, with the Higgs field, they can begin to alter reality as we know it. Now, a lot of people they can't capture that right away. But you have to remember, our world is made up of matter. The antimatter is what we can't see, what we can't touch, what we can't feel, though we interact with it every day. A lot of people like to think of antimatter as the other dimension, which is the opposite of this dimension. It's an inconceivable place that is hostile inherently. It's not under control. It's very hostile. This dimension would be the more tamed dimension.
Here's a question for you, Mike. We'll come right back to the CERN. When we encounter demon spirits, are the demon spirits operating in the dark matter?
glad you asked this. I'm glad you asked that. Here's what they've done, Pastor Paul, since the 1930s. Well, actually, since the 1800s. There was a group that studied nothing but the phenomena of paranormal activity, not like you've seen on TV, not like you've seen in Hollywood, not like anyone knows about. But they studied the science behind paranormal activity and have then defined that this is a dimensional, called a dimensional slip, where things can obviously interact with this world all the time. And they were wondering the interactions between known matter and that type of matter. But they also found with antimatter, this antimatter can be absorbed by any realm of paranormal activity. It is, in effect, neutralized and absorbed. So there's a physical effect to the spiritual world in antimatter. And often, demonic entities and all these other paranormal things are attracted to antimatter. They're attracted to it.
Okay,
which means when they bring for every gram of antimatter that's produced and then it's bought into this world, when they produce it, it attracts things from another dimension coming here. What is CERN going to do? It's going to allow humanity to produce pounds of antimatter.
So the demonic forces, the demon spirit, when God says Satan is the prince of the power of the air, he's saying Satan lives in the antimatter world. He lives in
everywhere.
He's in that dimension, which is everywhere. Right.
Yeah.
Everywhere. Just like God is omnipresent, so is Lucifer. We know this.
Yeah.
Created him. We know the archangels are never going to die, whether they're in a current state like Gabriel, doing the will of the Father, or in a fallen state like Lucifer. So I'm getting the comprehension here that if Satan lives in the dark matter, but he comes in and out, this is what we're seeing when demonic spirits not just manifest in people and they do horrific things, which that's certainly a reaction to a manipulation from the dark side, but we sometimes see these demons or these entities of darkness because they can sometimes they enter into our realm, maybe just a little, to try to manipulate us in this realm. Is that what, in layman's terms, from a pastor, is that what I'm saying? Is that what you're saying scientifically? I mean, they don't want to go there. I know the science guys don't really want to go there, but I know you will. So is that what we're talking about?
That's exactly what's happening. That is the unseen portion of dark matter. And, of course, you have the angels which govern what that realm can and cannot do. It's not a, you know what, it's a shame. And I have to continue to say this. It's a shame that the Christian community cannot believe the Bible when it's talking about things like that, because it's going to cause them to be harmed. What they fail to adopt from the Bible, what they fail to believe, is going to harm them. It's going to harm them. They may not be lost in their spirits, but they're certainly going to have lumps all over the place. It's going to harm them.
Well, let's
Pastor,
when you understand, first of all, if you really believe God is who he is, and that everything he promised in the Word, he will do, then you also must believe that Lucifer is who he is, the destroyer. He goes about to kill, steal, and destroy. And that he is more powerful than you. Every time I say that, I actually feel Christians in the pews get nervous. They don't want me to say that Lucifer is more powerful than me. But he is, if we look at it in that realm. The only reason I have authority over him is because I was given that by God himself through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, and confirmed by the Holy Ghost. Thus, I have authority over the devil. As long as I walk in that authority, I control Lucifer. I keep him under my feet. I give him no place in my reality. But when Christians deny the presence of demons, they're actually denying also the promises of God. Because You can't have one without the other. You have to understand the reality that you're in a bipolar situation here. There's no gray. I mean, 50 shades of gray, forget it. There's no gray matter here. There is dark matter, though, what I'm hearing you say. And I don't want to go too far here because you're not done explaining the rest of CERN. So I'll come back to this in a minute. But I wanted to get, it was just a revelation to me. When you're talking there, I could actually see this matter you're talking about and how Lucifer, like, lives in it. And with his demons of hell, thank God I can pray in the name of Jesus and keep him in that area away from me. But go ahead, let's get back to CERN. Let's get back to where you're at.
Okay, Pastor, now that we've discussed, and I hope people have a general understanding of matter, which we can touch and feel and observe, and antimatter, which we cannot touch, feel, or observe. However, it's working in tandem with the matter. Because everything is balanced. It's good you brought the subject of Lucifer up in the spiritual sense, because God gives everything balance. Everything has balance. There is dark, there is light, there is good, there is bad. Everything has balance. I mean, God could have not. Why did he put the serpent in the garden in the first place? For balance. God can't give us an honest choice unless we're faced with an equal balance of obedience and disobedience, good and evil. And so Lucifer is used to be that balance of darkness with the light that we're given. And the reason why I say people are going to be harmed when they don't believe these things is because if they do not believe in the spiritual realm of our Lord, well, then they're giving the Spirit's authority to work in their lives. CERN has yielded so many results and gave a true definition of paranormal activity. It's beyond me that a lot of people cannot get this through the truth of the word. They can't. Antimatter is being pulled out of nowhere, out of this other dimension, which is nowhere but everywhere. In consequence to that, they found out antimatter has a specific type of energy signature that they can, in fact, detect. This is how they, is part of the process of pulling it out. Well, as it comes to find out, some of the not-so-good consequences of this process has to do with the human psyche. But it's important, before I go into that, for people to understand exactly what they're doing, the process. They're trying to find the glue. That's now, the previous state of the glue that holds everything together, because if they find the previous state of the glue, just like they found the electron and proton, and now we have electronics, now they can control electrons and protons in electronics. That's how your electronics work. All electronics work this way. If they find that glue, they can then manipulate the glue.
Now you said in this thing they're trying to create pounds and pounds of this dark matter. Is that right? They're trying
yes.
to create it?
Yes.
What is the dangers here, Mike? I mean, okay, oh, wait. How many dangers is there? But let me ask you this question. Why is Stephen Hawking sitting on the sidelines going, don't do it? I mean, freaking out. Why is he saying that? Why is he...
He understands the implications of what could happen. He understands how it can affect the psyche. For a long time, Stephen Hawking did not believe there was a God.
I know.
He didn't. For a long time, he didn't. But you see, something is changing with him. He is beginning to see that everything is so precise, it's impossible for it to be happenstance. I mean, everything down to a trillionth of a trillionth of a trillionth of a trillionth of a meter is absolutely precise, and he's beginning to change his mind. It's what's happening to him. He's changing his mind. He is now beginning to entertain the idea that what people call divine is in fact done by some sort of architect that
right.
we have no concept of.
Right.
Yeah, so he's...
He is scientifically, through his work, a life of analysis, has realized this could not be an accident. There has to be a grand designer, an intelligent design. And It's been there in front of my face the whole time. I'm thinking that's what Stephen Hawking's thinking. It was there the whole time. I've spent a lifetime chasing it, only to come back to the same place. It was there all the time. And you're saying that's why his mind is changing. And thank God, God's grace is wonderful. God's mercy and grace is wonderful. Because God really wants the whole human race to understand that he is real and that he truly is in control. It's hard for us to fathom it all, but he really is. I'm going to let you go on. You're still in the CERN here.
Yes. Okay, so now with the general basis of what CERN is doing, that's the basic idea of what they're doing. And that's exactly what they're doing with particles. Here comes the other part that's not so good. This is why they have to do another set of, listen, it's not just one experiment they're about to perform. This thing is going to run 6 months continuously, colliding protons near the speed of light to analyze particles, exotic particles that are made at the beginning of the Big Bang. That's why they call it the Big Bang machine. It's the only way to observe these particles, which wink in and out of existence in a fraction of time. And the consequence of this search to gather more and more of this matter, and by the way, they have a more efficient method of pulling out or gathering antimatter, which is why they need to know the properties of some more properties of this particle they have described. Once they have these properties, they will be able to extract as much antimatter as they desire efficiently. It's right now to obtain antimatter is very inefficient. It's very inefficient. In other words, to get a pound of it would take about 10,000 years at the current rate. It's just not going to work. CERN will allow them to do that probably within a week. But here's the consequence, Pastor Paul. They've observed the energy of both matter and antimatter. They found out that antimatter is intimately tied to every single life form on this planet. They found out that energy signature is the same energy signature in all life on this planet. All life, none excluded. They also found out when any life form is in the presence of antimatter, the energy of the life form changes. The energy changes. I'll put this in basic terms. Okay. A person has both dark and light already in them. It's part of their makeup. It's what you can't live in a material world without antimatter. Nothing would exist.
Right.
And so a person has both good energy, which would be this realm, this realm of matter, but they also have energy of antimatter. So they're connected. A person is connected to both realms at the same time on the energy level, and they don't even know it. They don't know it. And they have found, with all the experiments they have found out why paranormal activity exists. They know exactly what it is. They don't want to tell anybody. This is why they perpetuate foolishness on television. But every single person, every single life form is connected to that realm, that other realm, into this realm of reality. All the time. Now, a person's thoughts, how a person feels, and doctors know about this too, how a person feels will determine which energy they draw from. You can draw from this realm,
right,
a good realm, and you have positive results. That's called faith. That's why doctors believe in it. That's why they give out placebos. They know that if a person believes something is helping them, they have it within themselves to repair. They can command their bodies to be repaired simply based on belief. That's why they give them sugar pills, and people think they work. And people have recovered from cancer. People have recovered from back injuries. Quadriplegics have been repaired simply by their own faith.
Right. It's because they're drawing from the positive energy of God. They're believing They're confessing it. They're speaking it, which is part of the reason the Lord tells you, speak the word, confess the word, you know, meditate on the word. David said, if you just meditate on the word, you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You shall not be moved. Your leaves will not wither, and everything you touch will prosper. That's just meditating. Think what it means to speak it with faith, what it kicks into gear. So they understand that they can actually determine that faith works, faith in God's work, faith in God works. And so they've seen that. So if that works, so does speaking negative and believing the dark side, right?
That's right. And as it turns out, this other realm, because that energy is contained in another dimension, so to speak, that's the containment wall. But when a person draws that energy in, it is the opposite of this realm. In this realm, again, we have to light a piece of wood with a flame to catch it on fire. In that realm, it's already on fire. You have to contain it to see the wood, because it's engulfed in flames. It's the opposite of this realm. When a person changes their emotional state, their energy changes, and they begin to draw their energy from this other dimension, this chaotic and violent and uncontainable place where they draw dark matter from.
You're saying that God, when he spoke the world into existence, actually extracted from the darkness the light, or the good side, everything good. That's why he says in Genesis, and God made this and that, and when he did, he saw that it was good. He pulled it out and left the dark matter. He pulled it out of its radical, uncontrollable existence and formed it into the image and the likeness of him. Let me say this. I know that the human body is about 75% water, and the earth is about 75% water. The human body is 3% salt. The ocean is 3% salt. That's not by accident. You're saying we're linked to it all. We're all linked to it all because it's all God. It's all good.
Yes, intimately linked. And it's in operation all the time. Now, the scientists, they are aware of this. Now, here's the other part that's not so comforting.
Hang on a second. Before you go there, let's take a break. I got to go get a cup of coffee before you go here. Before you go dark on me, let's get a cup of coffee. Are you serious, folks? I'll be back in 2.5 minutes. Welcome, everyone. Are you serious? We have with us Mike around the world. And he is explaining to us and helping us understand in layman terms, a kind of what is going on here with the CERN and what they're trying to accomplish and what they've already learned since the CERN was formed in 1954. We know that it was Albert Einstein when he figured out how to split the atom. I mean, he became the most powerful man in the world. World War II ended because of this scientific discovery and ability to harness this energy. And now we're talking about something a whole lot different. We're talking about the God part of it, the matter of all things, if you will. And it's really kind of neat because the more I hear this, the more I understand this, the more my faith is increasing. How God, I already knew God created everything, but boy, it's really awesome to understand maybe part of how he created everything. And then again, God's ways are still so much higher than our ways than the heavens out of the earth. But Mike is doing a wonderful job here in helping us understand that. So I want to welcome all of you that are here, tons of folks here, and we just want you to absorb what he's saying. And you haven't told us yet how it's going to affect us, this CERN. So, and Mike, they're cranking it up this Friday, okay? Friday the 13th, all right. But around the 20th, they want to reach the pinnacle. They want to climax this thing at almost the speed of light, and they want to collide these protons. And like you say, it's because they're going to keep doing tests for 6 months. But what is the potential ramifications? What is it you're concerned of the effects on the human race, especially the people that live in Switzerland and France? and in the Europe. I mean, there's going to be a total eclipse of the sun on the spring equinox when they're cranking CERN up to its highest level. I mean, is that why they're picking that day?
Well, on the spring equinox, forces change on the Earth, and they know this. They know that forces do change, which will, in fact, allow them to have better results. And believe me, it's timed perfectly. It is timed perfectly. With the basic introduction of what CERN is doing and what it is, and the dark matter and matter itself, now we get into the heart of the matter. Of what's actually, what could be the consequence, what will be the consequence. There will be consequences. It's just that there have been consequences before. Nobody took notice, Pastor Paul. And the energy signature of dark matter, which, by the way, resides everywhere, but once you bring it into this realm where we can actually see it and observe it, it attracts things from the other realm. Dark matter is tied to dark matter. Everything has a connection. Everything has a connection. That connection can never be broken by anything. Everything has a connection. If they bring dark matter into this realm, it's still connected to that realm where the dark matter came from. No matter how far away they put it anywhere, it's still connected. Because that realm is everywhere, and it's still connected. Because it's connected, it effectively increases paranormal activity around where it's contained. And this is why they shift facilities of where they keep... They once kept dark matter in a college. I won't name it for the sake of the college, but the university. They had to move it to a deep underground facility because of what was happening to the people in the college. People began to have vivid dreams, nightmares. The violence began to erupt, and vile things began to happen in those places. And it's because it's a chaotic piece of matter. It is just chaotic. And it's very difficult to contain something that is so powerfully chaotic. This is what an explosion is, by the way. When an atom bomb explodes, it releases chaos. Chaos in the form of chemicals, reactions, and everything is out of order. That is an explosion is the absence of order. That's what an explosion is. When you contain something, you're giving it order. So it's controlled.
You're saying that where they were storing matter, that it was affecting the students, it was affecting the people in that community, because bringing into their presence something from the dark side. It's still affecting people. So if I look at it from the fact that when they fired up CERN back in 2012, and they did it, like you said, they knew what they were doing. They did it right on the winter solstice, and in the Mayan calendar, end of the world, December 21st, 2012, they matched it out then. There was seen demons, dreadful demons were seen by a lot of people in and around Geneva, Switzerland. For over 2 weeks after they even finished this experiment, people were going insane. They were absolutely freaking out over the things they saw. And to me, it sounds like it's opening a portal to the other dimension. I mean, that's what you're saying. And I know what's in the other dimension. Lucifer is the prince of the power of the air. He and his demons, he and his legions are actually in the dark matter, is what you're saying. And so there's an opening there. And of course demonic activity will affect people. Of course it will, right?
Yeah, here's the worst part. Understanding that dark matter is always connected to its source, which is that realm where the dark matter came from, the realm that's all around us. Just imagine that dark matter being the ocean, right? Imagine this realm being the submarine. We're all in the submarine having fun, and we're doing our thing, and we have disagreements here and disagreements there. And then we find out there's a hole in the sub, but the hole is not, We thought the hole was in the sub, but it wasn't in the submarine itself. It was, in fact, in the people. The people's water inside their bodies began to increase based on their emotions. Let's just say that. And the dark matter can then come into this realm through people. That's, in fact, what they discovered in 1950, that people can also produce dark matter by way of, it's very minute, it's very tiny, but it's measurable, it's quantifiable. In fact, they now know how much energy a person has to have before they go absolutely berserk. They also know how much of that energy signature a person must have before an entity from that realm can possess them, which also allowed them to understand that not everybody can be possessed. Not everybody can be, but the person has to be prepared to be possessed. They have to be, in essence, they have to be a portal themselves to be possessed. Not everybody can be possessed. And so, not to get way off target, but this dark matter is everywhere.
You could willfully the door to demon possession. I mean, yes. You have the ability because of, as we talked earlier, by the things you say, by the attitude you have, by the faith or lack of faith thereof, you can open doors to the dark matter or to the dark side, as Russ Dizdar likes to say, to the demon spirits of hell itself. You can. That's why seances. That's why it's people gathering together, touching one another, reaching out into the darkness and opening up the portals. And calling this dark, destructive matter into themselves. They literally call it in. I mean, so all we got to do is look at how God created it. He did it by speaking. He extracted the light from the darkness simply by speaking and calling it good. We have the same power to speak life or speak death. It's in Proverbs. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. Matter of fact, you can see. I mean, this is why people say to me a lot of times, Mike, well, why do you say, did you say, you know, people need to confess Jesus? I mean, all they got to do is believe. I said, no, the devil believes. He's the biggest believer there is. But he's damned. You know why? He can't confess Christ. It's more than believing, you have to confess it. If you're saying that that's what manifests it, the victory is the confession. It's not only believing it, but it's putting it into action. I didn't want to get off too far here.
That's right. That is, that. You know what, all these things, here's what, I mean, it really gets to me, is that these scientists, over the course of many years, have quantified, or they have calculated these things. They have extracted the truth, the facts, yet the Christians don't believe it. And these crooked people in certain places have already been harnessing this power for themselves, and it's been effective every single step of the way. Yet the Christian community, for some reason, has a mental block on certain things of God, as though they have all the time in the world. You know, I will say this, and then I'll get back to CERN, that if a person trusts their father, they don't need the father to explain everything. They just need the they just need to know that the father said it. And they'll go do it. If you tell a child, go, you need to go rake the yard, a child's not going to sit there and say, well, what brings you to that conclusion? A child's not going to do that. You'll just go out there and rake the yard. Over time, you'll find out why, but you have already performed what the father said. But in the Christian community, we have to know why everything is before we do anything. In the scientific community, they see the facts. They know they don't understand it fully, and so they have experiments, and they learn along the way. In fact, they're obedient to their own disciplines, and we're not obedient to our own disciplines.
You know, that's just like this, Mike. I'll give you another example. I had a person, I talked to a guy one time. He said, Pastor Begley, I know the Bible says in Malachi, if you bring your tithe unto the Lord will, you know, rebuke the devourer for you, and he'll pour you out a blessing on every thing, and he'll bless you. But he said, I have to just say something. Can I say something? I said, sure. He said, it don't add up. There's no way taking 10% away from something you have will help multiply it into positive for you later. Mathematically, this don't add up. It don't add up. Every week, if I put 10% of what the Lord blessed me to have, even though He kept me in strength, and even though I'm walking upright, even though I still have a position of where I work, it don't make mathematical sense to subtract away from something and have more. So how does it work? I said, well, see, here's the difference. You're mathematically, you're trying to analyze it from a natural standpoint, and you're not believing it from a spiritual standpoint. You're not seeing all the positive forces that God releases upon you in your life. You're not seeing it in a spiritual realm. You're looking at it in a natural realm. I'm afraid, and I run into this all the time, Mike, even in, I'm talking in a Christian world now, that don't understand God's blessings, divine healing, salvation, edification, many things. The laws of God are not, they don't change. They're in play. And if we'll just do the will of the Father, if we'll just, like you said, trust the Father, we might figure it out later. But right now, just trust the Father and watch and see what He will do. And it's amazing that that many in the scientific community who maybe don't even believe in God, or like you said, some corrupt individuals have figured out the calculation of this, but their heart isn't right, so they're not doing it for the right reasons. And yet people in the Christian community, a lot of times, won't believe it, even though it is actually there. It's actually in the laws of God in the Bible, still won't believe it. It blows my mind, but I know you're telling the truth here.
Yes, it's very disheartening. So, you know, I just had to add that piece in there. Okay, so the problems about CERN, I know everybody's waiting on this. What could potentially happen from this? Well, they had another discovery that dark matter causes other pieces of dark matter that they have contained to react. In other words, if you have a container, say you had a teaspoon of dark matter, and let's just say you had it in Pennsylvania, and somebody else had that same a teaspoon of dark matter in California, then as soon as the teaspoon of dark matter is exposed to the elements in Pennsylvania, it causes the dark matter in California to begin to activate. In other words, you lose containment in one place, containment in another place is going to be lost. Is going to be lost. So they're intimately tied together. Now, we've covered the fact that people have the signatures of the energy of dark matter in them and matter. So they contain both matter and antimatter, in a sense, the signature of energy. They're not put together. It's just that signature. And we draw upon those based upon our thoughts and what's in our minds and what's in our hearts, in a sense. With CERN, as they begin to collide these protons, dark matter is going to be produced in great numbers. I mean, in greater and greater numbers. Not only the matter, but the energy signature is going to also be released into this realm. You know what that's going to cause? It's going to cause the dark energy signature within people to begin to activate more and more. You see, it's going to become difficult for people to stay contained or controlled. In essence, they're going to become violent. They're going to have vivid dreams. The darkness within a person is absolutely going to begin to surface. And this is not theoretical. This is not some theory somebody thought of. This is absolutely 100% quantifiable, and it's happened before. It's going to happen in greater numbers this time.
Well, Mike, Genesis 6, the earth was corrupt, verse 11. Genesis 6, 11. The earth also was corrupt before God. The dark matter was out of control. The earth itself was corrupt before God. And the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And so God saw he had to do something. He had to cleanse it. He had to recreate it. He had to fix it. Okay? So, and we know that there were giants in the land before and after the flood. So it's happened before. Violent entities, violent, murderous, barbaric. That's what I was wondering is we seem to be coming more barbaric than the medieval times. I mean, it's like, what did we learn anything? What you're saying is that it's part of the nature of man is manifesting. The radical cells, it's almost like cancer cells, you know. They say we all have cancer cells, and just if something activates them, and then they start to run wild and destroy in the body and turn on yourself. You're saying that this kind of stuff, the zombie apocalypse thing, with people running around with superhuman strength, biting on people, murdering, just crazy stuff is going to, you're saying we're going to see more and more, and that CERN, and so if I said this, CERN's opening the doors of hell. CERN's opened a portal to the dark side. CERN is letting loose the dark matter. That's basically what you're saying.
Yes, Pastor, and it will take effect. That's also been weaponized. Nobody knows this, and I probably won't be in trouble for this, but they have a weapon concerning dark matter that they can put within a country or a specific place to cause chaos. It's a weapon. They've used it before. They can unleash this, and it can cause chaos anywhere they want chaos to be rampant.
That's the great sword. That's the great sword. Look at the red horseman of the apocalypse. He takes peace from the earth. He goes around creating war and was given a great sword. You're saying they've already got this weapon, this ability to just plant this thing in a nation and just let it completely. Now, what about Christians, Mike? I mean, we have a shield of faith. I mean, we're the sons of God. We're the kings and priests. I mean, not that we're not going to be facing dark matter, but we have an invisible shield of positive matter to fight it off. Am I right?
Yes. Also, there's something very important about that. I know this firsthand. There are often times you have to partake in the weapons development program, and you become a rat, so to speak, in a maze to see firsthand what the effects are going to be. I'll describe something. People can believe it or not, but sooner or later they're going to experience it too. I am a Christian. I know that Jesus died on the cross for the remissions of sins and now sits at the right hand of the Father, soon to be sent to us again. I rely on the blood of the Lamb. I am, you know, as a soldier, I count my Lord and Savior as my commander. And so I am used to taking orders and to operate life or death in those orders that he gave. That's the only thing that saved my life one day. I was thrust into a position, Pastor Paul, where I had to absolutely 100% fight to keep my flesh under full subjection. I could not believe the intensity of what was happening. My thoughts were all over the place. It was almost like every evil thing that was in me came to the surface with a snap of a finger. Irritation, aggravation, anxiety, fear, just anger, hatred, all sorts of things in the snap of a finger. The only thing that kept me still, the challenge was to be still. The only thing that kept me still, I had to absolutely 100% focus on the Lord. I had to focus on him. It's the only way to overcome that is to focus on him and place the flesh under subjection. If a person's out there, and Pastor, if they say, well, I have no power to control myself. Yes, you do. You don't want to control yourself. Believe me, that power is within you, is given through the Holy Spirit. I felt the power, the protective power, the blood of the Lamb and the Holy Spirit during that test. I was amazed. I didn't know this could be harnessed in that way. I did not know, but it happened. And this was a weapon. This was a mild weapon. And you have to cling, people have to cling to the Word of God and his promises. Most importantly, his instruction. You know, not one time, Pastor Paul, when I was in that test, I didn't think about his promises. I thought about his love. That's what I thought about.
Amen.
And when I began to think about his love, something happened within me. Everything came under subjection as though it took no effect.
Amen.
That's what happened. But
you know, as the scripture tells us, Mike, I mean,
go ahead.
The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God, through pulling down strongholds. So in other words, when you get right down to it, it comes down to a spiritual battle. And mankind is learning how to use demonic spirits as weapons. That's what you're saying. I mean, I don't know if they realize that. They know it's manipulating people. They know it sends a manipulating force and creates people. It causes people to react in the ways they do. But they're coming up with a weapon of darkness, a demonic weapon. And the only way you can overcome a demonic weapon is with the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Ghost of God. There's no other way. And I've heard you say this periodically over the last month. Pastor, you'll say, Pastor, they're amazed that they can't seem to penetrate faith. They can't seem to penetrate the blood of Christ. They themselves are amazed by that, aren't they?
Yes, they are, which leads us to a final piece. They found the force that holds the dark energy or the dark matter away from this realm. They call it the wall. There's another name for that, a name of which that those particles they're going to find, they found part of it. They're going to find the other pieces that are in that wall. And when they find the other pieces to this wall, they will then be able to undo that wall. There's another name for that wall, Pastor. You know what it is? The veil.
They're calling it the veil? They call
the veil.
It
the veil. Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
They call it the veil.
But that's pretty amazing right there. They realize, you know, that this veil, they call it, it's like a firewall, right? Like we would understand in computers.
Yes.
Firewall.
It holds back that realm. They found out what's holding back the dark energy because it would be absolutely destructive if the two met. But they found out, now with this as a weapon, there is no counter weapon to this. China is building an LHC facility. They're building a particle accelerator. There are, to present day count, about 14 particle accelerators in existence. 14, not just one.
How many United States control?
Well, I missed that. What'd you say?
How many of the 14 are controlled by the Western world? I'll say it that way.
Well, we have all the countries are vested in the CERN facility. Every single last country. But the United States, we have three facilities here.
Okay.
We have three. I can't tell you where they are. One, they began to build, but they couldn't, but they went ahead and built it anyway. It's in one of the biggest states in the United States, and it's there and it's operational. It's also going to be powered up during this time. I'm saying this because when this thing does power up, the immediate effects are not what I'm worried about. That's not my concern. The psychological effects on people is going to become quite evident. And I know that people will come under some strange attacks, some strange occurrences and incidents. I know that the only way they can be protected from such things is their unqualified belief in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You can't fake it. There is no substitute. People know if a person is real or not because they emit a different energy. That energy is that wall that this other realm cannot reach. You can't breach it, and there it's absolutely going to take effect. The collider, think of a collider as hundreds of nuclear explosions taking place within 1 second, and they're containing it. It goes beyond fusion. It's in a realm by itself when they collide protons. They are going to find these particles, and within months, they're going to put into motion what we talked about today, and people are going to feel these effects. And then this other realm is going to begin to spill over in multiple places everywhere. Violence will increase.
That's what I was getting ready to say. So it's not the initial when the CERN hits and it's March 20th, and you know we're like, oh, the world didn't blow up. There's nothing to this. And people are just going to laugh it off and go about their business. That's not the issue. The issue is the long-term effect over the next several months, the impact upon the human race and how it's going to affect people. And the remedy for this, the only remedy for this, is Jesus Christ. The only remedy, the only protection, the only authority over this dark matter is to be walking in the light. And the light is, of course, the light of God. You know, God, the Bible says God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. I've read that verse 1,000 times and thought to myself, well, that's pretty simple. God just has no darkness. No. What you're saying is there's a lot into that one verse. He's completely extracted himself from the dark matter. He's completely isolated himself from the dark matter, and the dark matter cannot touch him. And the only way you're going to be able to defeat this, because we're still in a fallen state. You know, we're still sinners saved by grace. I mean, we're still mortals. There's none of us righteous, no, not one. Because Paul said, that which I would do, I do not. That's what I do not, that I do. So in other words, we're dealing with the flesh. We're constantly in a warfare, right, Mike? We're in a constant warfare.
Yes.
Let's face it.
And yes.
it really makes sense when you explain this today.
Yes. And Pastor Paul, you know what? The crucial side of this is that with this show coming up, people are going to realize all too painfully what we've talked about today. But they have to start now. They really have to. They can't make excuses for their flesh anymore. They cannot make excuses for their emotional state anymore. They're going to, if they love the Lord, if they truly want to be with him, if they can recognize his love for them, they're going to have to fight for it. Today, they're going to have to fight for it every single moment. They're going to have to keep this negative energy away from them. They're going to have to immerse themselves in the truth of our Lord. That's the only way they're going to be able to survive. You know, in this time that's coming, which is coming quickly, I mean, like within weeks, people are going to be thrust into, they're going to have ideas and things that they didn't think they had. Now, some people may say, well, you know, all my thoughts are my own, then why would God say, take captive your thoughts?
Exactly.
Why would he say that? Why would he say, die to your flesh daily? Why would he say the flesh and the spirit war continuously? Why are those things said? Because we have the power to overcome our own flesh, because the darkness in this world is about to be pulled out of everything. Everything with darkness in it, that darkness is about to surface. In a way that no one ever forecasted or thought possible, but it's absolutely going to take place. And the only way a person can overcome this is through the true power of the Holy Spirit and to stay within the blood of the Lamb. Pastor, I would say this, there is no hypocrisy in purity. There is no hatred in purity. There is no accusation in purity, and people need to be in that purity in truth, not acting like they're in the purity.
Amen.
They have to be there. It has to be in their hearts. They have to do everything they can do to get a heart transplant right now so they can be strong enough to endure, because we all have to finish this race. None of us knows when we're absolutely going, but I, for one, intend to finish this race, and I'm trying to sound an alarm that something very different is going to be all too evident to everybody who believes in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And without him in truth, they're not going to make it. They will not make it without him in truth.
Mike, I appreciate this today. This is a broadcast for the archives, for the ages. I hope that this gets passed around so that folks can understand the truth about the CERN and the understanding, the secret of the CERN, I'm calling this, and what it means for us as as the human race and as Christians, and for those of you who aren't saved, or if you've been spectating but you're not participating in the body of Christ, it's time to get right with God. Mike, and with that, I'm going to go into an altar call, and I want to thank you for today's information and for this interview. It's very powerful.
God bless you, Pastor.
God bless. Amen.